The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Steve McQuillan, CEO of Avingtrans AVG ticker. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin, and great to join you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Nice to get you there. And we've spoken previously, of course. In fact, before we start, for people not familiar with Avingtrans, we'll ask you for a summary, but worth checking out Paul Hill's analyst comment on the front page of Vox right now. It's very detailed, very impressive there. It goes into the valuation, the parts, and some big investors, you know, also invested in Avingtrans. But Steve, before we get into the news, could you summarise what Avingtrans is all about, please?
Yeah, Avingtrans is a precision engineering business, and we're in a number of different markets. At the moment, we're concentrated in energy, making equipment for energy one way or another, such as equipment for oil platforms, nuclear power stations, renewable power sources, etc. And in a smaller, almost startup business, which I'm sure we'll get back to, around the medical imaging side. Mm-hmm. That's our current setup. We have been previously in other markets like aerospace and machine tools, etc., because as some folks will know, we have this strategy called PIE, Pinpoint Invest Exit, mm-hmm. which is a bit like mini Melrose, and where we look for engineering assets, particularly in these kinds of markets where there's it's a highly defendable market like aerospace or nuclear or whatever. And we look for those sorts of assets. We pick them up, we fix them, and then we sell them again, ultimately. And we've done that successfully a number of times over the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. How many business units do you have at the moment then, currently, Steve?
Oh, crumbs. I always lose track of this because we keep buying and selling them. We've got about 10 at the moment.
Yeah.
We're about 14 sites, I think, but they're not all different businesses. Mm-hmm. The biggest business is Hayward Tyler, which we bought in 2017, which makes pumps, mainly for power stations, for oil platforms, that sort of thing. And then we've also got businesses like Metalcraft, which is now specialised in nuclear decommissioning containers and equipment, mainly for Sellafield. And then we've got Booth, which makes highly specialised, high-integrity blast doors, which we bought about 3 years ago now. And then Ormandy and fluid handling. And then, of course, the medical side, Magnetica, which we'll come back to.
Yeah, yeah. And the themes are running through these, like you say, they're all in sort of highly regulated engineering markets, aren't they? So you need a lot of expertise in that area. So it's not, you know, highly competitive.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's competitive for sure, Justin. But the difference, I think, for us is that when you're in those sorts of markets, if you pick up a business that's struggling, you have time to fix it.
Yeah.
Because there aren't hundreds of suppliers out there nipping at your heels. So usually the end customers and or the OEMs are... I wouldn't say content, but they'll allow you to have time to fix something if you pick it up in a mess.
Yeah.
So that's why that strategy works for us, and why, for example, we won't go into places like automotive, because if you pick up a struggling automotive manufacturer, it'll be dead before you fix it, sort of thing, because the OEMs can switch to someone else. Got but it. That's often not the case in these highly regulated markets, as you say.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, trading update and strategic investment. So take us through the trading update, if you could, Steve.
Yeah, I guess this is not that exciting. We're in line with the expectations. Well, maybe that is exciting these days with what's going on in the world outside. But we're pleased about that. Obviously, we've seen delays and issues with supply chain, with contract delays, those sorts of things, the same as everyone else. So it's pleasing to be able to report that we've got to a point where we're still in line with the expectations. If it wasn't for some of those delays that we've seen, we'd probably been ahead of expectations, obviously, but... as it happens, we're just buying online, actually, with what we'd expect the market to have from us at this moment. And, of course, we'll be doing a trading update, in the interims report at the end of next month, the end of February.
Yeah, yeah. And encouraging to see you've got a good chunk of change there.
Yes, we're still sitting on a good amount of cash. We've used a little bit of cash in the first half for various things, including a thing we've just spent more money on, Adaptix. But we've managed to keep the cash flow going nicely. So we're pretty well insulated from all the grief at the moment around interest rates and whatnot, because we're sitting on a nice chunk of cash, which, of course, we can also deploy, as we are doing gradually, to find other assets to add to the stable and increase shareholder value that way.
Yeah, 22.5 million net cash. So the strategic investment, Adaptix, take us through it. See, what's the rationale behind this?
We have a business called Magnetica, which we've been investing in for a while now. We bought the majority stake in that last January. And we merged it together with two businesses we had already, Scientific Magnetics and TechMag in the States. The point of Magnetica is to bring to market new versions of MRI systems. They're smaller, they're more compact, they don't need helium, which is a scarce resource. Therefore, they cost less, and they're also cost less to install and in terms of total lifetime cost. So we think that's quite an attractive market proposition, and we're well advanced with the first system, which is for orthopedic use, for scanning arms and legs, obviously. Adaptix is a business that's doing the same thing, but for X-ray. So they have the same sort of technology, compact technology for X-ray systems, and their initial targets are the same as ours, orthopedics and vets. It's not really competing because, as you'll probably know, X-ray and MRI give you different information. You know, X-ray is particularly good on hard tissues like bones, and MRI is good on soft tissue. So they're complementary. Not, there is an overlap, but they're complementary, largely not competing. Once we came across Adaptix last year, we felt there was a lot of synergy between us, and their CEO, Mark Evans, and I debated us making an investment, which we did initially last year in October. And then we just had the opportunity to buy some more shares in Adaptix. So we've topped up now and we have 400,000 shares worth 4 million at the moment. And we have therefore 11.9% of Adaptix, which makes us one of their biggest shareholders. Yeah. And the objective is to tie together where they're going market-wise and where Magnetica is going. Adaptix is ahead of Magnetica in that they are already have a first product launch into the orthopedic market, and that's been very well received, so that's looking very good. And Magnetica is about a year and a bit behind that, but they'll come forward with a similar product on the MRI side for orthopedics sometime during next calendar year is the plan. So they're very much aligned in terms of strategy, very much complementary. So there's a lot of ability for us to save costs by tying the two together in terms of where we're going. And there's also a lot of ability for us to develop the markets together and go down the same route and make that more efficient and more effective. And yeah. Also, it's a better market offering to have the two types of imaging modality rather than just MRI or just X-ray.
Yeah. And where is the target markets geographically then, Steve?
Well, they're worldwide, Justin, but the particularly big one for orthopedics is America, because there's about 20,000, 21,000 orthopedic clinics in America, and they are distinct from, you know, what the hospitals do. We're not really targeting these systems at main hospitals. We don't think they'll buy them. But if you're an orthopedic surgeon in various countries, I say notably America, then actually patients come to a polyclinic of some sort and they just get their dislocated finger or their tennis elbow diagnosed, and you don't have to go to a main hospital. Then that's actually very efficient. And of course, in America, as you know, it's checkbook medicine, so the orthopedic surgeon can charge for that, and then that gets charged on to insurance companies, etc. So it makes for a very efficient process, and the scan can be very quick as well. The problem with big systems is, you know, an MRI system, for example, you can be in there for 45 minutes getting a scan, whereas we reckon with the Magnetica system, when we've got it going, it will be about 15 minutes for a scan. So you get a lot more throughput, it's more efficient, and it's cheaper. So what's not to like?
Yeah. And so what's next bit of news on the rollout of this? When is that happening? What time scale is that happening?
As I say, Adaptix have actually started on the rollout of their product. They launched that just in, I think it was the start of December, in the big medical imaging show in America. And they're rolling that product out now. And then, as I say, for us, for the MRI equivalent system for orthopedics, it'll be second half of next calendar year, actually, is the plan for us to have a product that's launchable into the orthopedics market.
Yeah.
The other thing we're looking at doing with these things is that the business model is a bit novel too. Instead of just selling or leasing the equipment, what we're looking to do is have a pay-per-scan model or pay-per-use model. Mm-hmm. And we think that that's attractive to certain segments of the market. Again, probably not to mainstream hospitals. That's not the target. But to orthopedic surgeons or veterinary surgeries or whatever, we think a pay-per-scan type model works well for them. They don't have to invest in capital equipment, but then actually they can benefit from the system, and then we get a kickback in terms of a fee every time they use the system. Of course, you have to set up the contract right to make sure that pays back appropriately. But the modelling we've done suggests that that's very effective. And the market testing that both businesses have done so far suggests that that would be well received, certainly by certain parts of the market, perhaps not all, but certain parts of the market and certain parts of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned there, you know, some delays in supply chains. You know, it's a global issue, encountered by many businesses around the world at the moment. What's it like at the moment out there? Is it getting better or is it the same or what?
I would say from our point of view, it is gradually getting better, but not at any great pace. We've seen supply chain issues on all sorts of things, materials, chips of different sorts, where we were using chipsets, for example, at Magnetica. Mm. But I would say it's gradually getting better, Justin, but it's not going to get fixed immediately or anytime soon, I don't think. Yeah. So it's all the more pleasing, therefore, that we can stay in line despite that.
Yeah.
And as I say, we've also seen the same effect, you know, from some of our customers. Some of them have experienced supply chain delays, so that slows them down ordering from us. And some have had, you know, COVID issues more generally, which means we can't visit them or they can't conclude contracts or whatever. So we've certainly seen our fair share of that. But nonetheless, we still managed to hit the target.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous stuff. Okay, Steve, as you know, on the front page there, Vox, there are 10 companies that are most followed, and they get on that list by people hitting those follow buttons. So if you could, to get on the list, give us three quick reasons why someone should add Abingtrans to their watch list, please.
Clear long-term strategy, consistent shareholder returns over many years, and the ability to potentially make a lot more money with us if we're right about the strategy around what we're going to do with medical imaging.
Excellent stuff. Steve, good to chat to you as always, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Okay, ciao, Justin. Thanks very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.